Welcome to First Open Bible Church. That light back there, in case you're wondering, that's our disco light. Because we're staying alive, hallelujah, in the Lord. Okay. Praise the Lord. Amen. It's good to get prayed for, huh? And pray for somebody else. Praise God. Anybody ready to grow their faith? See, faith comes by hearing, and by hearing the Word of God. You know, sometimes you need to stretch your own faith, and maybe you need to read your Word out loud so you hear it. Amen? Stretch your own faith. Lay hands on yourself, too, when you're sick. Say, God, pray against this. I pray against this. I pray against this in the name of Jesus. I claim healing upon my body for your glory. Amen. Some of y'all weren't here the first time I spoke this morning, so my name is Pastor Harris, and I'm the lead pastor here at First Open Bible, and I'm glad that you joined us for worship today. Man, wasn't last week insane, right? I mean, it was incredible. I literally cannot explain what God did. All I can say is, Lord, let it be the beginning of amazing things. God, let it be what you want. We've been praying for a wave of revival. We've been praying for, see, the Bible says in the last days he's going to pour out his spirit upon all men, all flesh. Dream dreams, have visions, signs, wonders, and miracles. But you have to understand, it's not about lifting up a man or a woman. It's about the glory of God because he loves us. And in the last days, there has to be manifestations. There has to be things of why you believe what you believe. It needs to happen so the unbelievers can say, wow, the world can't give me that. That's got to be real. And that person used to be like that. And look at them now. What has happened? I've been changed by the power of the Holy Spirit. I've been changed and washed in the blood of God. And I am different. I'm different. And not only am I different and I don't hold it in, I'm different and I share it. Right? That's what we want. That's what God wants. You can't go into the whole world and act a fool. You can't go into the whole world and be lame and full of fear and boring and grumpy. Man, the world is really good at that. Don't be like the world. Be like Christ. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now I'm going to preach. First, I want to say something. Tongue interpretation. What happened this morning, that's called a tongue interpretation. Paul tells us in the New Testament that there'll be tongues. What are tongues? It's a heavenly language. It's a language given to us by the power of the Holy Spirit. When you're baptized with the Spirit of God, Jesus prophesied it. He said that you're going to be baptized with fire, right? And you're going to have fire upon you, and it's like rivers of living water coming from you. And so there's a tongue interpretation, and the Bible teaches us, Paul teaches us in the New Testament, it's equal to prophecy. And I've been saying what prophecy is. It's to build up, edify. It's to encourage the body of Christ. It's to encourage people. So the tongue interpretation, it's not a tongue translation. And sometimes you think, wow, the tongue was shorter than the translation. That's because it's a tongue interpretation. It's what God wanted to say in his heavenly language. And then he told us in English, and that's our language here in America. But God does a lot of amazing things through God's people. And the Bible teaches us that you should eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit. If you don't eagerly desire them, guess you what? You won't get any. Right? Right? Be a kid on Christmas and you can't wait. Right? It's like October and you're like, is it here yet? I want it now. Right? No, man, you got like 2.5 months. Chill out. Okay? No, but you got to eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit. And they should be evident in your life, but there's two different types. There's two different ways. There's 9 gifts of the Spirit. And in the gifts of the Spirit, they should be evident in your personal life. You should ask God. Like in my personal life, I've had the gift of prophecy before where I prophetically give a word. Like last week, I don't even know what happened. Whatever, I just filled up a God and then he just emptied me out. Whatever he wanted to do. And so, but there's been times in my life I've eagerly desired these things in my life. I've had words of knowledge. I've had wisdom. I've spoke with diver kinds of tongues, which means different kinds of tongues that are just like powerful and they break things off. But these are evident in my personal life to what God is calling me to. And it's a lot different because then there's also, there's an order when we come as a corporate body, right? A corporate body, there's an order to the service, and we have to make sure that we're following what God wants. It's a fine line to dance on, because you don't want to get all crazy with it, right? And just go all nuts, and there's no order in God's house, because God is not the God of confusion. You know, he's a God of order, but he's also a God of the Spirit, and he has to move. Don't dam it up. Lots of places like to dam it up because they don't understand it, or they don't get it, or it's like they can't control it. Guess what? I'm the pastor. I'm the shepherd, but I'm not in control. The Holy Spirit is in control, right? So we submit to his authority, and we submit to what he wants to do, but there is an order. And so there's a difference between personal life and a corporate. So we have a different kind of order with the corporate setting, but I want to encourage you in your life, desire the gifts and allow God to move. Step out in faith. Start small and see what he will do. Amen? He will trust you. You got to trust him. You got to trust him. And you got to step out in faith. Amen? Okay, why? Because this morning we conclude our series Entrusted with the Gospel. Church, we're experiencing a hijacked gospel. This series has boldly addressed the problems we're facing head on. Not all of them, but a lot of them. It's called out errors and provided balance and love to help get us back on track as believers. First Open Bible, we will not encourage partiality of God's word and undermine the unifying work of the Holy Spirit. See, partiality is not simply not gospel, it is anti-gospel. In these days of confusion and deep divide, this series reminds us that only the truth of the gospel will bring us clarity that all of us desperately need. Amen? John 8, 31 and 32 says this, Jesus said to the people who believed in him, he's saying it to us, if you believe in him, you truly are my disciples if, that's a big if you remain faithful to my teachings. And what will happen? If you're faithful to Jesus' teachings, he says, and you will know the truth, and the truth, say it, church, will set you free. Now say this, will set me free. It sure will. I've titled today's sermon, Occupy Till I Come. Amen. Church, when I look around at today's depravity, I think, man, wouldn't it be nice if God would just take over and change everything to be that is sinless to holy? Wouldn't it be great if and wonderful if God would just get rid of all the confusion and destroy all the evil and all the selfishness in this world? That would be absolutely incredible, wouldn't it, church? Man, that'd be nice. I'm pretty sure a bunch of things on our TV would all of a sudden go off air. Well, guess what, church? Someday this is going to happen. Someday it will happen. But it hasn't happened yet. And guess what? The world didn't end yesterday either with all those prophecies. There's a day that's coming soon where God's one and only Son will come back again and purge this world once and for all of all evil and godlessness. And his kingdom will reign supreme. But until that time, we the church have the responsibility of sharing God's truth. God's truth has been put in our care. We've been entrusted with the gospel. Amen? But we got some issues. You got some issues, right? We got some issues. Liberal thought has hijacked the church. A religious spirit has hijacked the church. Political powers have hijacked the church. Woke agendas have hijacked the church. Humanistic living and thinking has hijacked the church. And a lack of knowledge. Speaking to you who eat once a week, has hijacked the church. Seriously, try in your life just to eat one time physically a week and see how strong you are. But that's what you do by eating the bread of life when you don't read God's word. You spiritually are weak, but God wants you to be strong. You got to get in the word and you got to get some bread. You got to get some meat. You got to get some fruit. You got to get some stuff in your life and get strong. Because a lack of knowledge has hijacked the church. And a form of godliness has hijacked the church. Powerlessness and apathy has hijacked the church because a secular, weak, and watered-down gospel has presented an incomplete kingdom. But we were created for more. We are sons and daughters of the King. Amen? Come on, act like you like it. You are a son or daughter of the Most High, right? You're a child of God. You are a prince or princess. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And because of what Christ has done, we've been grafted in to all the promises of Abraham and his people. We've been grafted in all the things that Jesus has done. We are made for more. Now, there's only one kingdom that can bring transformation, salvation, freedom, healing, prosperity, and peace. And that's the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? Who are we and what do we do when it comes to the kingdom of God and living on this planet until Jesus reigns supreme? Church, if you've been entrusted with the gospel, that means you've been entrusted with God's mission here on earth. The kingdom of God is the mission of God. Jesus did not come to establish a religion. Jesus came to establish a kingdom. Y'all want me to say that again? Wake you up this morning. Your soul is ready. Your spirit is like, oh, come on now, Pastor, that's what I needed. I need to be reminded of your word and who I am in Christ Jesus. Jesus did not come to establish a religion. That's down the street. Okay. Jesus came to establish a kingdom. That kingdom won't be complete until his return. But his kingdom has already begun. Now, Jesus wasn't interested in you just making a decision for him and stopping there. Too many weak Christians. You say a prayer and you live how you want, and the Bible says that you ain't even saved. Jesus says, come and follow me. You can't go and follow yourself. You can't say a prayer and follow yourself. That means you're not following Jesus. If you're not following Jesus, you're not a disciple of Jesus. If you're not a disciple of Jesus, you don't know the power of Jesus, and the blood hasn't washed you as white as snow yet just because you said a prayer. It's about giving your life to him after he's given everything for you. That's what it means to be saved. If you don't believe it, look at the disciples of Jesus. If you want to be a rich young ruler and say, I've done all this, but I won't do this last thing and walk away from Jesus, then do it. But Jesus didn't run after you. He died for more, church. He's not interested in you just making a decision for him. It's not just about getting fire insurance. Jesus said, come and follow me and be recreated, be born again. John 3:5 says, Jesus replied, I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water, right? That's the salvation, being born of water, and the Spirit, being baptized in the Spirit of God. You've been entrusted with the mission. You have been entrusted with a mission to bring people in union with the King of Kings and into the kingdom of God by preaching and by living in the gospel of reconciliation. First things first, there's two kingdoms. Okay, watch this, ready? I'll be here all morning if you need me. Hallelujah. Boom, there, that's how many kingdoms there are. Say two, church. Two kingdoms in this world. There's the kingdom of this world, and it's ruled by the demonic, and it's ruled by the flesh. And then there's a second kingdom. It's the kingdom of heaven. It's God's kingdom, and it's ruled by the creator of all. Church, you can only claim one kingdom. You can only serve one kingdom. You can only walk in one kingdom. You can only operate in one kingdom. In the spiritual, there's no such thing as dual citizenship. Mm-mm-mm. Mm-mm. Mm. There is no such thing as dual citizenship. When you've become saved by the grace and the mercy and the forgiveness of Jesus, you start following Jesus. Man, anybody been changed in here from the moment of salvation? Say hallelujah if you have. Come on now. I'm not who I was, and I ain't never going back. See, when you become saved by the grace, the mercy, and the forgiveness, and the power of Jesus, you start following Jesus, and you start living in his kingdom, and you start living with that citizenship. And that starts before you get into heaven, church. When you make a decision to follow Jesus, you make a declaration that you won't go back to that other kingdom. But you are also transformed. You are recreated. You are made brand new because you now have been reborn into a different kingdom. John 3:3 says this, Jesus replied, I tell you the truth. Unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Man, we were all born into sin. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Adam and Eve. You rock. You know, I'm going to set up a meeting when I see you. Hey. I wonder if Sherry will set up that meeting for me. She sets up all my meetings. She's my secretary. That's a joke for me. Okay. Man, we were born into sin. The kingdom of this world. It's evil. It's demonic. And it's fleshly. Church, when the Spirit of the living God makes your spirit alive through salvation in Jesus Christ, you live in a new kingdom and you live with a new king. 1 Colossians 1:13-14 says this, for he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. Thank you, Lord. When you serve a new king, church, you start operating with a new power and with a new authority. What's a kingdom? Here's the definition of a kingdom. It's a community, a state, or a people ruled or reigned by a king or queen. So it's a community or a people that is ruled and reigned by a king. Before Christ returns, there's no actual physical patch here on earth that could be described as his kingdom over which God rules and he reigns as king. There's no physical patch. But the kingdom of God is here on earth wherever God reigns. It's where he possesses or exercises his sovereign power. It is where his church does his will. It is where heaven is loosed on earth. It is where God's Spirit ministers and manifests. The kingdom of God is wherever God is and wherever the king sends his citizens. Last week, the kingdom of God was here. It was here. I believe it's here now. See, God's kingdom is both present and future. The kingdom of God is his sovereign reign. It's his action. It's his manifestation. It's in the world now. And at a future time, he's going to finish and complete his reign everywhere. He will one day finish and renew his people and the universe completely. But something you need to know right now is this. You're a citizen of the kingdom of God. When you were born again. Philippians 3:20 says this, but we are citizens of heaven where the Lord Jesus Christ lives. The Bible teaches that he's at the right hand of the Father and he's waiting for the Father to say, go son, it's now, right? And we are eagerly waiting for him to return as our Savior. Amen, amen. Soon incoming King. As a citizen of God's kingdom, you have incredible rights and privileges and responsibilities. The way God's kingdom works is totally different than any nation in this world. It's not affected by the conditions of this world economically, politically, or culturally. The king provides everything everyone needs in abundance for this life and in the life that is soon to come. 2 Peter 1:3 says this, "By his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know him, coming to know Jesus, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence." Church, your heavenly citizens and your heavenly citizenship allows you to live from a position of endless strength and authority. The power of heaven works in your favor for you every single day, and it's for God's glory. You were born into this world, but you are no longer of this world. Your citizenship is now in God's kingdom. You are citizens of the kingdom of God. Did I make it clear this morning? Who are you? Who are you? You're a citizen of where? Of the kingdom of God. Now, Jesus spoke about the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God 85 times in the Bible. 85. The people in his time, they hoped for a political leader who would set up an earthly kingdom that would get rid of the current domination and oppression. Many people are still expecting something similar today. But Jesus tells a parable in Luke chapter 19 showing that the kingdom, his kingdom, would not take this complete form right away. Anybody love it when Jesus corrects us? Can I get a witness? Man, Pastor, I love it. You'll never grow without it. You'll never be more like Jesus without it. Without it, you'll be the same as you are today, but God died for more. He died for more. The good thing about Jesus coming and correcting us when we're wrong is he gives us the right answer, and he gives us the grace and the mercy to walk it out. Amen? Thank you, God. I didn't do it right. And that's what I'm supposed to do. Father, forgive me. I want to walk like that. I want to talk like that. I want to be like that. Amen. Forgive me, Father. And he says, I do. Now walk different, talk different, be different. So there's a parable in Luke chapter 19 that Jesus is showing that his kingdom would not take this complete form right now. First, Jesus would go away for a while, and his followers or his church would need to be productive. His church needs to invest. His church needs to occupy during his absence. Jesus goes on in the same parable in Luke chapter 19 to tell us what we are supposed to do until his second coming. It tells us exactly what we've been entrusted with until he comes back again. You want to read part of it? Okay, five of you. Awesome. Five of you going to read it. The rest of you just keep sleeping. I will put my pulpit back down there. That was fun. Okay, let's just read part of it, okay? You can read the rest later. I'm going to read part of it. Luke chapter 19, we're going to start in verse 11. We're going to read 12 and 13. It says this. The crowd was listening to everything Jesus said. And because he was nearing Jerusalem, he told them a story to correct the impression that the kingdom of God would begin right away. Right away, right? He said, a nobleman was called away to a distant empire to be crowned king and then return. I want to pause there real quick. You know why Jesus came? It was to reconcile you back to the Father. It was to reconcile your relationships to one another. But Jesus came to die. Because he was going to live so he could be crowned king. Okay. That's for free. Verse 13. Before he left, he called together 10 of his servants, and he divided among them 10 pounds of silver, saying, invest this for me while I'm gone. I love the King James Version and how it says this last verse in Luke 19:13. It says this: "And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds. And he said to them, 'Occupy till I come.'" Whoo. Occupy. What does that mean? I had to look that up. And I did. It means this: reside, fill, take up, hold, take control. Reside, fill up, take up, hold, take control of a space or time. Jesus said he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said to them, reside, fill, take up, hold, take control until I come. That's what he said. I'm more happy than you right now. I am so happy about that. What? Jesus said, occupy till I come. Followers of Jesus, citizens of God's kingdom, you have been entrusted with the task to occupy until the King returns. Another way to say that, tend to my business until I return, right? Tend to his business until he returns. Jesus entrusted that with us. Whew. That's heavy, God. We can't do it without you. But you have to understand and you have to walk in your place in the kingdom so you can occupy until he comes back, until he makes his kingdom complete. Now, as a citizen of God's kingdom, you have a position. Church, say position. You have a position in the kingdom of God, and it's, here's your position: ambassador. You are an ambassador for Jesus. You're an ambassador for the kingdom of God. How do I know that? God's word says it. 2 Corinthians 5:20 says, "So we are Christ's ambassadors." God is making, put it on speaker, they need to hear this. God is speaking his appeal through us. God is speaking through us. We speak for Christ when we plead. Come back to God. So what's an ambassador? This is what an ambassador is. It's someone who is appointed for a special and temporary sovereign assignment. And you have been given authority by another power in a foreign land. Let me say that a different way. An ambassador is someone who is in a foreign land that has the authority given to them by another power for a special and temporary sovereign assignment. You are on assignment. Say, I am on assignment.
I am on assignment.
You are on assignment by the King of Kings to represent the kingdom of God here in this foreign land called Earth. You're an ambassador for the kingdom of God. Woo! Anybody feeling that? Like, God, it was enough that you saved me. It was enough that you forgave me. But then you make me a citizen of your kingdom. And then you fill me with the power from on high to make me an ambassador for you. God, when will all these blessings stop? They won't. But you have to walk in them. As an ambassador of God, you have been entrusted with the great and powerful assignment that comes directly from the King of Kings. Occupy till I come. You've been placed in a position of authority in this world. What is that? To rule over darkness. To rescue people from hell. To establish the rule of Jesus wherever you go by preaching the good news of the kingdom of God. Matthew 10:7-8 says this: "Go and announce to them that the kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cure those with leprosy, and cast out demons. And I love this part. Give as freely as you have received. Now, church-wise, it's extremely important for you to understand your powerful place as a child of the King. And as important as it is for you to understand that you're an ambassador for the kingdom of God, it is equally important to understand your place as a servant. I'm going to say it anyway. This is not a Joel Osteen sermon. Some of y'all catch that, okay? My goal is to give you the complete word of God. Matthew 23:11 is, the greatest among you must be a servant. Now here's what the world uses their power for. It's to overpower the people around them. This is what our government does. I got to plug this real quick. Church, you got to pray for something to break in this country. There is a spirit upon this country. Listen to me before you clap. This is what's going on. 200 and some years ago, we literally fought against the tyranny and the oppression of the government over the church and over religious freedom from a land called Great Britain, and we became established as the American people because they were trying to tell us how to worship, and what to do. And right now, that is exactly what's happening in Washington, D.C., and in other states around. There needs to be a break in the spirit because there's a spiritual oppression over that. And guess what? You're an ambassador. You're a citizen of heaven. Where you go, God goes, because the Spirit of God that lives inside of you is the same Spirit that rose Jesus from the grave. So wherever you go, whatever you say, you got to lose some things here on earth that are in heaven right now. You got to bring things that need to break things. Come on now. You got to do things that you're supposed to and you're supposed to do. You got to pray, get up, and speak truth. You've been entrusted with it. Okay? You've been entrusted with it. I'm going to say one more thing, okay? I just feel going out. If you are not registered to vote, you need to call the office. I want to help you. If you're not registered to vote and you're a Christian, come on now. I was raised in the 90s. That's Will Smith, sorry. That's what he did. Anyway, that's not of God. That is of me. I'm stepping away from the pulpit for a moment. But seriously, you need to register to vote. You got to get the vote. Vote. Do not vote. Do not vote party. Vote principles. Amen? Vote principles. Okay? You got to vote principles. If it's in God's word and it's a sin and it's not right, don't vote for them. I don't care what party you're in. I don't care what you're not in. It doesn't even matter. You're a citizen of the kingdom of God. Vote people in places of authority to break the spiritual bondage we have in America. But you got to vote to do it. You got to pray. You got to step up. And you got to get involved. You got to get involved. If you don't vote this November, I want to hear no complaints out of you. You got no right to complain. You did nothing on your own. Amen. I feel better now. Praise God. Woo! I'm going to do a little. Feel better. Woo! I don't say that to condemn you. I say that to hopefully propel you to do the right thing. Okay? Amen. We got to do the right thing. And it's not always the easiest thing. It's just not. Here's what the world does with its power. It overpowers the people around him. Here's what the kingdom of God does with its power. It helps overthrows the devil and it frees people from his chains. For we are free. You know what that is? Some people came in today like, what are you doing? Right? Your wrists hurt? No. These are the chains falling off. This is my freedom. You don't have shackles on me no more. Right? I am free in Jesus. I'm shaking it off. I'm casting as far into the sea as I can. It's going to go, let's see. East, right? No. Is that east? East to the west, right? And the north, I know that's north and I know that's south. Praise God. I got to do this. Hallelujah. West and east. It's hard when I'm facing the wrong way. Forgive me, God. Man, you're a servant in the kingdom of God. And what that means is you serve the king above all. Not your spouse, not your friends, not your auntie, not your uncle. You don't even serve political powers over God ever. It's always God first. I am his servant, okay? As a servant of the King of God, you serve the King above all. You humble yourself before him. You do what he says. You follow his commands and obey his commission. Hebrews 12:28 says this. Since we're receiving a kingdom that is unshakable, let us be thankful. I thank God. And please God by worshiping him with holy fear and awe. Let awe enter your church again. Let fear enter, a holy fear, enter your church again. It's not about our agenda. It's not about our preferences. It's not about our insecurities. It's not about our fears. We are servants of the Most High. We bow to you above all things. It ain't about my sickness. It ain't about my depression. It ain't about those things in my life that don't look like you or act like you. It's about you, King. You're the King of Kings. Your ways are higher than my ways. Your thoughts are greater than my thoughts. I bow to you in servanthood because I know when I do that, you'll be lifted high. You'll do amazing things for my life. You'll protect my family. You'll get me through the situation. Prodigals will come home. Things will happen in my life. Things will go on. Why? Not because of my glory, because I serve the King. And the King likes to give good gifts. It says, he's the Father in heaven who gives good gifts. If you ask for a stone, does he give you a stone? No, he gives you bread, right? You don't get a serpent. God gives you what you need when you need it. It's not always what you want. It's what God knows you need. Sometimes your prayers aren't answered because they're not of God. They're of you. God wants to do amazing things in your life and through your life. Don't just let it stop here. Be a vessel, a conduit. You know what that is? Like if you have a conduit and I'm some sort of conduit and I get the electricity from heaven, it goes through me into whatever I'm touching. You got to maybe touch some more situations so the Spirit of God, and you can be a conduit for him. You can be a transfer to him and what is happening in your life. And you know what? Sometimes when you're feeling down and out and you're feeling depressed or hurt or broken or confused, you know what you need to do? You need to serve. Yes, that's right. Because that'll free you from it. That'll change you. Amen? Hallelujah. Where am I? Man, we got to worship God with holy fear and awe. Let it be, God. The kingdom of God is a place of dwelling. It is God with us. What does Emmanuel mean? God with us. Church, it's always been about God with us, from the Garden of Eden to the Ark of the Covenant to the tabernacle to Jesus to Pentecost to his church, and then someday in the new heaven and the new earth. It always has and it will always be about God dwelling with his people. The kingdom of God is about his perfect dominion, his sovereignty, and his control. Until Christ returns, we have been given dominion as citizens, as ambassadors, as image bearers of God over the demonic, over the flesh, over unrighteous things of this world. Because why? God dwells with his people. We've been called to do the work of the kingdom of God just as it is in heaven. You've been called to bring order to chaos. Hold up a second. Your life's a hot mess. You got chaos. You got chaos everywhere. As much as it is in me, I want to bring order to that chaos. I want to bring light to that darkness. I want to speak truth to those lies, because I've been called to be the salt of the earth. You've been entrusted with bringing kingdom principles, kingdom power, kingdom freedom The gospel of the kingdom of God. You've been entrusted to do that to the ends of the earth. It should start in your house. And let it go. Just let it keep going. In the future, church, we're going to reign and rule alongside Jesus forever. Say forever.
Forever.
This is the hope of our future. Some of y'all excited about it, maybe? Yeah. We get to rule and reign with Jesus. Do we deserve it? No, not at all. Zero. But that's how good our God is. Read Revelation, church. It's going to get a hot mess here, and it's going to be amazing. But if you are a believer, that's not fear for you. That's prayer for the world. That's getting involved for the world, because it's coming. It's coming soon. It didn't happen yesterday like some people thought. By the way, Jesus will never come back if you keep guessing when he's going to come back. Because it says that we won't know, and it even says in the Word of God that the Father is the only one that knows, that Jesus himself, the Son, doesn't know. He's just waiting. Daddy, is it turn? Yeah. You see the hot mess going? Right? North America is just, it's got to be time, right? And for whatever reason, the Father says, no, it's not. So what does that mean? If it's not time yet, we have a calling. We've been entrusted with it. We got to do something. Our future hope is that we will rule and reign alongside Jesus forever. And this future hope should spur on the compassion of Christ in our life. We're called to bring the good news of Jesus with demonstrations of power and of love. By God's Spirit, to lead others in the way that is everlasting, to lead others in the way that is freeing and life-giving. Heaven should be here on earth through godly vessels. If we're citizens of God's kingdom and we don't do it, who will? Let me give you the answer. Nobody. No one. Why did God choose the church in the age of grace? Because he did. I don't know. I'm just thankful I'm a part of it. Give me more, God. Before I finish with this last page here, I just want to say something. Here's a prayer that maybe you could say in your life. God, I just ask that you trust me with little, so that way I can be trusted with much. But God, I want a little right now. Because you know what? Oftentimes you can't have the Spirit of the God and the gifts of the Spirit because you don't have the fruits of the Spirit. Fruits come first. If there's bad fruit in your life, you can't be trusted with much. Right? Everybody knows how to act on a Sunday. But Tuesday morning comes around, you might act a fool. Who are you really? And who is God in your life? There's forgiveness of our sins. There's forgiveness of these mindsets and these mentalities and whatever you have in your life. There's forgiveness for those. There's not only forgiveness, there is powerful freedom to get out of those ruts, to get out of those cycles. Jesus paid everything so we can be completely free. Not only free, but to be empowered to change. Not only to be empowered to change, but to change everything around you. For his glory, remember, we're the servants. He's the king. Amen? So here's the last thing I wrote. Some of you are thankful because it's hot up in here. I'm sweating like crazy. Woo! Maybe it's just me. So what must we do until Christ returns? Thank you for asking. I wrote a few things down. We must stay close to God's heart through prayer and humility. We are to praise and worship the Almighty God with our lives. We must be doers of God's word. We must act on his word with faith. We need to have the fruit of the Spirit evident in our lives. We're called to discern spirits and situations. Preach the good news of salvation. Prioritize and fulfill the Great Commission. Evangelize. Go to the lost. Fulfill your part in the end time harvest. The Bible says, he who wins souls is wise. Be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the power of God. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons. Can I do that? Yes, by the power of God, you can. Not only can you, you've been commissioned to do it. Amen. Keep your eyes open to the times and your shovel digging for the next revival well. You got to do both. Proclaim the kingdom is near. Eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit. Pray in tongues. Paul says he's going to pray more than anybody. Well, maybe he's the goat in that, but I think a new goat's rising up, okay? Stay in unity with God's church. Serve and give your life up for others. Put on the full armor because you are always at war. Be anointed with the power of the Holy Spirit. Speak with authority. Walk without fear. Walk with power. Walk with love. Walk with a sound mind. Sow into eternal things so you can reap an eternal harvest. Always stay loyal to the King. Citizens of God's kingdom, will you stand? I want to say one last thing to you before we conclude this series. Citizens of God's kingdom, you have been entrusted to occupy till he comes. Amen? If you agree, say amen.
Amen.
Worship team, you can come. I'm going to pray. Father in heaven, we love you. We thank you. This ain't about us. It's about you. It's about you. I pray that you be glorified, not only in the church house, but in our house. Not only in the church house, but the White House. Not only in the church house, but every house, every building that we walk into. God, I pray that you be glorified in all things that we do, all things that we say. God, I pray that you be glorified through our lives. Not only in a prayer that we said however long ago, but God, that you be glorified through our mouths, through our actions, through our hands, and through our feet. God, I pray that you be glorified because we've been entrusted with the gospel of reconciliation. God, I pray that there be a boldness that will rise up in the church in these last days, God, that there's things that are happening all around the world right now that we're seeing that is fulfilling prophecies. But I'm reminded of an amazing prophecy that you said, in the last days, you will pour out your Spirit. And God, I thank you. May you pour out the Spirit upon this church and your church. God, I pray for the ones that run after you. They want revival. They want to speak of what is happening. They want to say that the Bible is not just a book 2,000 years ago. What just happened in the news yesterday was spoken 3, 4, 5,000 years ago from a prophet in the Old Testament. And it happened with this guy. We have to be people, God. We pray we be people of mouthpieces of God. We open our mouth and things happen. And God, I pray against pride in the name of Jesus. That when amazing things happen, we don't take the credit, but we always point it back to you. God, thank you. We point to heaven more than Steph Curry, God. Father, I pray right now. Church, will you just raise your hands if you will? That's an international sign of surrender, but it is also a sign of receiving. Spirit of living God, I thank you. Jesus, I thank you that you said 2,000 years ago that it's better that you go. You go to be at the right hand of the Father because our Father is sending another. A powerful, anointed, it says it's a power from heaven. It's a power from on high. I thank you for Pentecost, that you filled the church with your Spirit and your boldness and your strength. I thank you that your word is a lamp unto our feet. I thank you that the Father gives us all that we need. And I just speak right now, Spirit of living God, may you fill us to completion right now. May you fill us to an unthinkable amount that we cannot even comprehend, that you fill us with your love, your compassion, your truth, but most of all also your boldness. In this time that we live in, sin and evil is bold. But God's church must be bolder. I pray that we be stronger and we speak up when we need to speak up and we're quiet when we need to be quiet and we go into places that we need to go into. I pray that you give us divine assignments into dark places, God. You give us divine placement in places that are in authority, God, that they will take back what the devil has taken. And we help, God, see your kingdom come here on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, we thank you. We cannot wait for that day. That day where we meet you in the air. We can't wait for the day that we meet our Savior face to face. We cannot wait for the day when you rule and reign completely in this entire universe. But until that day, you've entrusted us with the gospel. So here we are, just like your son said long ago, here we are. Send us. Father, we love you. Pray that you do all things. We can do all things through Christ Jesus who gives us strength. Because when we're weak, you are strong. Fill us now. God, as I pray that we go, the enemy tries to come immediately to steal. I bind that right now in the name of Jesus, by the blood of Jesus. I pray against any assignment of the enemy, any discouragement right now in the name of Jesus. We pray that when we step out, that you protect us. Put angels, warring angels around us as we go. Put them around our cars, put them around our families, put them around everything that we do and everywhere that we go. God, I pray that you go. When we go, you go. Wherever you want to go, God, we want to go. And if you stay, we stay, God. We will go where your spirit goes. And I thank you right now that you are going to lead us in the ways that you're going to lead us. God, I know that each and every person in here today has an assignment from God. We are ambassadors with your word and your strength and your mercy and your grace and your power. So send us, God. Here we are. Send us. Lord, we love you. As we go, let's change the world because the world changer lives in us. It may be for your glory. In Jesus' mighty name, if you agree, say amen.